Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Moltek Packaging Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Nirmal Bang Equities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Navalgund from Nirmal Bang Equities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Lizanne. Hello everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, I welcome you all to Moltek Packaging Limited 4Q FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us Mr. Lakshman Rao, the Chairman and Managing Director of the company, along with the finance team at Moltek. Without further ado, I would request Lakshman sir to start with his opening comments, post which he'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. I hope you can hear me better. I thank you very much for your interest in our company performance. I'm glad to inform you we recorded one of the best volume growths in our company history. That's 16.3% volume growth, and PAT is up by 26.3%. Overall, it's a very satisfying year. And as we also mentioned to you, several projects are on the anvil. Sultanpur only phase one started in the last week of March, and the main pharma division will be going on stream in the second quarter of this year, followed by three projects for Aditya Birla Group at Panipat, Chennai, and Mahad, our unit expansion at Daman in the second unit of Daman, and also a unit at Sandila to be started during this current financial year. So as explained, as initiated earlier, we crossed our investment target. Actually, 130 crores has been invested in the current last financial year ending March 31st, and it looks like we'll have a similar kind of investment of about 120-120 crores in the next financial year in these five projects I just mentioned. So I think we can rather go on question answers to cover more information about our company's performance. Over back to the operator so we can start the question answer session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity, and good afternoon, Mr. Rao.
Yeah.
So my first question is on the pharma packaging business. If you could elaborate more in terms of where the things stand currently and key hirings that you have done in companies you are working with in the regulated pharma segment.
Yeah. We have people joined. The core team is already in place, and a couple of them are joining in the month of June. And the buildings are now shaped up. Several machines are on different stages of completion. A few molds have been received, but mostly the project assembling and trial runs will start in June, July, and hopefully August, September, the commercial production will start in some areas. Areas like regulated market where we need longer period for client clearance may go on till next year for clocking turnover. But there are other products which we'll be parallelly introducing in July, August, which might start contributions from the second half of the current financial year itself. So this is briefly the pharma packaging position as of today. But certainly in the Q2, there will be a movement towards commercial production, and additional volumes or revenues can start adding up from October onwards in a small way. And once the regulated tablet packs also come in a big way, that is from next, though they start in October, so August, September, their real sale can start only next year because of the long time for approvals. However, there are products which we are introducing in August, September, which will be adding to the revenues starting from third quarter.
Sure. As a follow-up, what would your ambition be with respect to scale of the IBM pharma packaging business here over the next 3 years until FY26? And could this also open up an export opportunity for Moltec?
Yes, certainly. Export opportunities will be there because we are adding a few more products into the product mix, which probably I'll be able to share in the next quarterly meeting in more detail. So those products have export potential, or at least export replacement potential, and also this PAC's size as in 3 years. We have said that initial this year, including the OTC product of Iodex, probably we'll be able to achieve a turnover around 10 crores. But going forward in 3 years from this 10 crores, we are aiming to come anywhere around 75 to 80 crores turnover in the pharma division.
Sure. Sure, that's very helpful. My second question is on your lubes business. Can you help us break down the 30% volume growth? How much of this was driven by underlying growth in the industry volumes? How much from the DES sales and from conversion into IML QR-coded IML containers?
I didn't have exactly the details, but DEF is certainly more than 12 to 15%. That much I can say. And QR-coded Shell has converted partly of its brands into QR code. And IML conversion and QR code together could be the balance 15%. Given that 7 to 8% industry growth, maybe around 8 to 10% is the growth coming from shift in IML and QR code.
Sure. And lastly, on the SNF business, what kind of volume addition has been on account of addition of Kisan and Horlicks custom packs?
Actually, I'm a little disappointed to say that. So far, only trial lots have gone for Kisan Jam. In the month of May, they indicated lifting about 4 lakh bottles, as against 10 to 15 lakhs, jars they have committed. So hopefully, only from June, these products will be fully productive. In spite of that, we have recorded 32.6% growth in food and FMCG without these three products contributing to the production. As I mentioned earlier, these three have the potential to give almost another 7-8% growth in the food and FMCG segment. I'm sure from June onwards, hopefully these three products will be contributing.
Sure. That's it from my side. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of Sandeep Agarwal from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So my question is regarding, so what is our internal IRR assessment regarding these investments?
See, we always have an IRR, four-year IRR time to recover the funds. That is, but keeping 1 year as a project and preliminary, it's 20% or 5 years IRR period.
Okay. So just bookkeeping question. So what is in balance sheet, the investment amount is 51.6 crore. What is including these investments?
Sorry, how much you said?
Investment amount, which is 51.6 crore. So
investment is 130 crores actually.
No, sorry. Investment, as an investment line item in balance sheet.
Investment line item in balance sheet.
Which is 17 crore previous year.
What are you referring to? Maybe capitalized amounts are not included in that.
No, it is not a capitalized amount, sir. It's financial asset.
Mm-hmm.
and subgroup is investment, which is 17.08 crore previous.
No, what he is saying is this financial assets. What is this item?
Investment in technology.
Oh, that is the investment of Maltech Packaging in technology, more MTTL shares. That is by virtue of the share price of Maltech Technologies has gone 3 times, the investment value has shot up from 17 crores to 51 crores.
Okay.
That is an internal benefit, but we don't put it in the P&L. It comes
from the balance sheet. I understand. So can I ask a question regarding the Maltech Technology?
Okay, if it is a brief one, let's go quickly.
Yeah, no. So what is the growth outlook for next 1 or 2 years? Have you seen any challenge due to current economic environment in USA?
No, actually our economy and our line of activity in MTTL has no big relevance, US economy, because what growth is driven in MTTL is the electrical vehicles market. Where many new the models have been introduced by several automobile companies. So there is a big surge in demand for our services, mainly in designing and even simulation. In Maltech Technologies, we have 2 divisions, civil and mechanical.
Yes, civil and mechanical, yes.
Is now growing rapidly, which was a backlog. It was rather a dark horse till now. It started performing for last 7-8 months, and the future looks very bright for the next 3-4 years. So that is where Maltech Technologies is positioned itself in electrical vehicles market. And we got an opportunity in 2019 to do Tesla project. So that background is really helping us in attracting inquiries and orders from several other automobile companies.
Last one is, can you provide any guidance regarding the next year order book in hand? Any such data in civil and mechanical both division?
We are looking at around 25-30% growth there, because we achieved 49% growth in the previous year.
Yes,
and we are on a bigger base of $18 million this year. We hope to hit somewhere close to 23-24 or maybe $23 million.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhargav Buddhadev from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, team, and congrats on a good performance. My first question is on signing up Pidilite Paints as a customer. Is it possible to highlight some details in terms of which geography will you be serving, and what could be the revenue potential maybe over the next 3 years?
I wouldn't be able to tell you such a detailed one, but it is for their new brand of products where IML is being used, and they've given a commitment for us to pick up all the IML paints from us, and also some part of the HTL, that is heat transfer labeled paints. Accordingly, we started supplies to them 3-4 months ago. I think at least the business will be worth around 8 to 10 crores in the beginning. And as our association grows with Pidilite, it has every possibility to at least double or triple in the next 3-4 years.
Okay, so you are referring to about 20-30 crores of revenue in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, it's possible.
Okay. Secondly, with regards to Shell, out of 20 SKUs, about 4 SKUs were under QR code. So have they increased this?
Actually, we have shifted this machine, and there was some disruption for a while in April. But now that machine is in place, once the third machine, Flexo machine, has been arrived from our supplier, and now the printing machines are all set. So we have given them clearance that in case they wanted to introduce more and more QR coded items, we're all set to go with it. So hopefully starting from June, July, they might introduce more QR coded paints.
Okay. And any update on Castrol sign up? Because I believe it was under pilot.
Castrol is still considering, and they have taken trials with us, but their marketing team has to take a call. Unfortunately, or fortunately, 2 months ago or a month ago, they started rebranding Castrol all over. The logos and everything are undergoing change now. You might have noticed in the market some new logos are being introduced. So I think their marketing team is more focused on that change, and hopefully they'll come back once they set that in place.
Okay. And lastly, has the Satara plant of Asian Paints ramped up? It was under maintenance. So how has been the progress?
No, ramped up. They started, I think, their production. I mean, it's not that they stopped or anything. It was going on, and ramp up also is completed partially, and it's going on.
Okay, so I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Mohan from Ashika Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity, and congratulations for the great set of numbers. So can you guide us on the next coming couple of years or 3 years? What would be your OPM margins, or like what is your EBITDA margins that you're focusing on?
Yeah, going forward, we have a combination of new paint clients like ABG adding to our numbers, and new segments like pharma, which will be adding to our numbers here also. So given this combination, the way is better, because even with, as you know, that in pharma, we have much higher value additions. And you might have noticed a steady 30%+ of growth in food and FMCG. And with our plan to set up a food and FMCG plant in North by Jan-Feb 24, along with ABG paints plant, we will be able to access food and FMCG clients more easily in the northern region. And I'm hoping that this trend of 30%+ of growth in food and FMCG division will continue for next few more years. Having said that, in all probabilities, the EBITDA margin from around 40 now should reach around 42, 43 in the next 2-3 years per kg.
Okay, got it, sir. Sir, another one, what is your plan on the CAPEX, and how is your plan going on increasing the capacity utilizations for all the plants? Are you focusing to make it, because on an average, the capacity utilization stands around 76% to 77%. Any focus on increasing that and putting any CAPEX, new CAPEX?
There's a big CAPEX plan, as I explained, 130 crores we completed this year, and we hope to spend again another 130 to 140 crores in the year 23-24, mainly for the Sultanpur plant's second phase, followed by Panipat, Chayar and Mahadda plant for ABG. And in Panipat, not only ABG, we are also setting up food container, food and FMCG product base also. And Daman 2 project is there. And Sandila, we have committed to start in this year. So all these projects put together, this year again, there will be investment in the tune of 130 to 140 crores, which is considerable, because if you wish to know, the company's overall investment till 2019, that is almost for a period of 33 years, company has invested only 275 crores. And in the last 5 years, we have invested 275, and with this 140, probably it will go to 420 crores investment in the last five and a half years.
Got it, sir. Sir, what will be your asset terms on an
asset
average?
Asset turn is always tend to be in the region of 1.5 to 2. In the greenfield projects, it's 1.5, and in brownfield, we cross to 2.5. But majority of the projects now are going are all greenfield. If you look at five plants which are coming up, they will be contributing maybe in the year 2 or year 3 in the region of around 1.5. But as they progress with expansions and brownfield expansions, which the clients have committed, then the asset turnover will start keeping towards 2.
Got it, sir. Thanks. And sir, how about your cash conversion cycles? Is it under control or how about the inventory days that I wanted to understand more?
Inventory and debtors remain more or less same. What is that? It has come down? One minute.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The inventories have come down from 95 crores to 85 crores. And 143 crores of trade receivables has become 123 crores, an increased turnover. So there is a much better improvement. Maybe in number of days, I don't have a count, I can tell you.
That's fine, sir. That's fine. So, sir, what's your targeted on the focus on ROCs? Are you focusing to be on a 25% plus ROCs in the coming years or any focus over there? Because you have some money.
Around 25, but with the new green field projects, it is difficult to reach 25% ROC. But once we stabilize and start earning on the capacities created, it is possible to come close to that. So currently we are near 20%, 18 to 20%. Sometimes it is 20-21 last 2-3 years ago. And since we are expanding rapidly and some of the greenfield projects, like even today we have land worth of around 30 crores purchased recently, but nothing started on it, so which is going to happen this year. So that way, if you look at all the complete investment which is effectively being utilized, it looks 18-19. But once those projects are completed and start yielding results, it can cross 20 and might reach even 22-23%. But this ongoing expansion is going on because we are creating capacities in multiple locations. So for the time being, a 20% ROC is what we can watch in the next couple of years.
Thanks, sir. Sir, and the last final question. Sir, can I understand which brand actually contributes major chunk of your revenue? And if possible, can you please put them on your presentations?
I can't tell you one brand as such, but Asian Paints is our largest client even today, with more than 30% contributions from that client. And several paint and lube companies and brands of Mandelis, brands of HUL still contribute sizable numbers. Probably, I don't know. I'm guessing Hindustan Levers brand could be one single brand which is contributing to the maximum amount to our revenues.
Sir, I have one specific question on a single brand called as Nandini from Karnataka. How about that brand, sir?
Yeah, Nandini, we started. We started entering Nandini sales. It's not very considerable now, but still our relation has started a few months ago with them.
So, sir, on Nandini, which products are you focusing on majorly?
I guess it is curds and ice creams.
Curds and ice cream. Got it, sir. So for this Nandini, exactly for Nandini, sir, where is your, which location of the plant supplies the product?
Hyderabad plant only is serving. Today, our food and FMCG completely is only from Hyderabad. We have a small setup of square pack containers, that is ghee and oil containers, being supplied from Daman in a small way. But 90% of our sales in Tinwal, or at least 85%, happen only from Hyderabad. That is why we are now planning to have Panipat plant the capability of food and FMCG product, so that it will be able to cater to the northern region. And similarly, Daman 2 plant at Daman is also going to cater to the food and FMCG sales in the western region. These two plants will go on stream by next season, that is March next year, 2024.
Got it. Sir, can I assume what kind of sales can be the potential sales for Nandini? Can it be around currently at least at 5-6 crores revenue coming from there?
Maybe per annum, but not very significant as of now. I know that our marketing team has penetrated into Nandini and started supplying a few months ago, but I don't think it has become any a big client as of now.
Got it.
But we got
an sure. Thanks, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir, and thank you for taking my question. Congratulations on a great set of numbers, sir. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah, you are.
So, I just wanted to know what kind of growth are we, you know, targeting for the next 2 years, because a lot of capacities are coming online. So, you know, any indication of our revenue or volume growth target that we might have?
Yeah, I said it last year and I continue to hold on to the same number. We are aiming an annual CAGR of at least 15% to 20% volume growth in the next 3 years. That's very clearly visible to us. And it can be better if some of our clients who are, proposing or targeting their own numbers, if they achieve, we can be closer to 20%. But you can take for guidance 15% to 20% as our annual growth rate for the next 3 years.
Oh, okay, that helps a lot. So, and sir, with our new CapEx, could we quantify how much capacity total, you know, in metric tons are we adding in current year and next year? I think we are at 45,000, correct, sir?
45,000 as we progress, but at the beginning of the year, that is April 22, we were around 42,000 tons. And today, we are close to 49,000 because some of the IBM machines are on the way. And with that addition happening in every month or two, we'll be somewhere close to 50,000 tons. So from 42 to 50 is what we have created in the last 1 year. And going forward, I guess we should be reaching close to 60,000 tons after all these 5 plants are completed, which may take 12 to 15 months.
Okay, sir. And how much, in terms of our capacity, how much time does it take to scale up our new addition? So maybe it could take a year to reach optimum utilization, or how would that be?
Utilization of at least 75% capacity utilization would take minimum 1 year for any plant to reach, because of the client themselves this time, they are new in the market. And also, there won't be much teething troubles because it's a proven process, and we have complete control on the various variables of the injection molding process. So, but I would keep safely 1 year period for takeoff.
Okay, perfect. So thank you. That helps me a lot. All the best for the next quarter. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sundar S. from Avandis Spark. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for this opportunity. My first question is with regards to the paint volumes. So we see it's been another quarter where paint volumes have been relatively flat on a year-on-year basis, and realization has also come off. So is it a slowdown in the end market, or have we lost any share to any other player in the market?
I don't think we lost any major client or nor any volumes to a client, but I can't guess whether our growth is equal to the growth of the paint industry. But my opinion, it is a maximum plus or minus 1%. So when we grew about 5% the paint industry might have grown 6% to 7%, or maybe 5% to 7%. So, but there could be some variations in others' numbers, like individual paint companies' numbers, which I'm not able to comment.
Right. So my second question stems from this. You just indicated that you want to have a 15 to 20% kind of a volume growth guidance. Now, how much of this could be impacted if there is a slowdown across the paint segment? Because this is not something that we envisage going into this year. The paint industry volumes have been low. Is there anything that you're picking up from that segment in terms of order book, something that we should look forward into FY24? How are the numbers shaping up across the paint segment, sir?
In the paint sector, we are still not looking at anything beyond 8-9% growth for the financial year 23-24 from 5.6%, because our last couple of years' experience shows that, which at least in our case, our growth is restricted within 10% for the paint industry. But going forward, one positive for Moltec is that with the three plants of ABG, which will go into production one by end of this calendar year, like say December, January, and the other two by March. They are talking January, but let's say Jan to March 24, could start adding numbers to Moltec. So though this year might be a little flattish, like 7-8%, next year could be more than 10%, and our absolute numbers is my estimation. That is why the next year is going to be, though 23-24 will be a good year, a better year could be 24-25 in my opinion, because by then pharma will be well established, our products will be received, and we'll be able to entrench into the pharma clientele using our product range, which we are starting in August. And that will evolve into a decent size of contributions from 24-25. And probably ABG's plants will mature and will start picking up reasonable volumes. So that is why in the period of next 3 years, which is up to 26-27, I'm confident we'll be clocking a volume growth between 15-20%. And also one of the moves which we are doing now is getting into western and northern markets for food and FMCG products, which we are completely zero as of today. Our sales in the west is okay, but our sales in north are hardly anything. So our entry into Panipat for food and FMCG and in Daman, which we will certainly complete before the next season, that is February 24, will lead us to sustain our 30% plus growth in food and FMCG portfolio. So that itself today stands around 26% of our volume. So 30% of it is almost close to 8%. So 8% of the overall company growth would come from that. And if we get even 8 to 10% in paint, that will lead to another 4 to 5% growth. And assuming loops will continue to grow at least at 10 to 12%, assuming some shifts and QR code entries, that will be adding another 4-5. So we have 15 as a very comfortable level of growth, and 20 on the higher side, because any one of these farmers and other contributions, new products like this Horlicks and Kisan, which got delayed last 6-7 months, may start from May, June. So they may add another 2-3%. So we are comfortable in stating our targets between 15-20%.
So just on that FMCG part, is that both the Daman facility as well as the Panipat, do we have any order book right now, sir? Assured order book once the plant comes?
Yeah, in West, we have been asked by a couple of clients to come closer to them and on the promise of better volumes. I can't name them as of now, but so Daman too, that way it is having a couple of commitments from our side also, that we'll be starting our supplies in the next financial year. So Daman too will be part of the current business plus additional business expected from them. And once we are there in West, there will be better access and better ability to serve the clients. But I'm more bagging on Panipat unit for northern market entry. Majority of the big players there who are buying from us, they are suffering or feeling the pinch of high cost of transportation and long time of transportation, which is sometimes 7 to 9 days. So they will be very much pleased to ship to us or to our IML containers. So I'm banking new business to flow in from north, starting from next season, in the food and FMCG.
Fair enough. Just one last one is that with ABG coming in, has Asian Paints opened up for IML containers?
I don't want to comment on that. It's
okay.
They have their own strategies, but whenever they want to enter, we are ready with them. We have facilities created for Asian Paints. So once they take a decision, we'll be ready to support them.
Sure, sir. Fair enough, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of Piyush Khandelwal from Bank of India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So just wanted to ask on this working capital that we have seen reduction by 24, I mean across the line item, both debtor days and inventory days, from 120 days of working capital in FY 22 to around 88-89 days. So, I mean, some set of it would be, again, the raw material correction, but what could be the sustainable range that, let's say, we can look at for next 2 to 3 years? And is there some sustainable reduction that we can see because of maybe product mix change that we are seeing, pharma, I mean, OTC that we are seeing, or maybe the foods and FMCG contribution increasing?
See, one of the reasons why we improve our collections or decrease our inventories is basically our ability to have clients who pay faster. In the field of food and FMCG, the payments are faster. Even we collect some advances in case of some of the smaller clients. So that is why you might notice that there is a reduction in the number of days.
What could be the sustainable reason?
And also the inventories were valued at a higher valuation last year, because at the time of closure of March, that was 22, the raw material was at its peak. Today, raw materials are at 110, 108 compared to 125, 130 last year. So that's also contributed. For details, you can send a mail and I can ask my finance department to provide in number of days how it reflects. There has been a reduction, but partly is also due to undervaluation of the inventories.
That I understand, sir. So can we expect, let's say, again, the working capital days to be, I mean, less than 90 days on a sustainable basis, 90-95 days going forward?
Yeah. Going forward, it will be better and better, because as more and more pharma products, there were strictly 45 to 60 days is the general norm. And food and FMCG, we collect in advance, and at the most, we allow 30 to 45 days credit. So as these sectors contribute more and more, we will have the inventory days and the receivables days coming down.
Understood, sir. Understood. So my next question was short-term borrowing. I mean, I've noticed that our long-term borrowing has decreased, whereas short-term borrowing has increased. On the same end, our working capital has reduced. So is there any some adjustment that has happened on the balance sheet?
No, there's no adjustment. Short-term borrowings means they're basically working capital borrowings, which will increase as we draw more and more funds on the drawing limit. We have more than 120 crores limit, but we are using only 21 crores under working capital. Short-term debt keep coming down because we repay the amount. And this is being a forex loan, which is tied up at a very low dollar rate. If we pay in between, we lose the advantage. So we are keeping a long-term debt for maybe next 1 year or 1.5 year. It gets wiped off. So we'll not have any long-term debt on our books within next 1.5 year. Is it 1.5 year? 2 years. Even this
so my question was, our working capital has reduced.
Working capital has increased from 7.32 to 21.9, the short-term debt.
No, so my question was, since our working capital days has reduced, but our short-term borrowing on the same hand has increased. So that is the reason why I was asking this question.
Okay, I understand. See, basically, all these monies are fungible, as you know better than me. So when we have limits, either in the long-term or short-term, wherever funds are required, we'll be drawing them. And what banks look at is the backup of the current assets for the giving us the limits. So that is how the funds utilization comes in. The effectiveness of our collections or reduction in inventories is a different ballgame altogether. On the inventories and receivables of 250 crores, we are eligible close to 180 crores funding. But currently we are drawing only 21.9, which is the long scope for us to further borrow from the banks without taking the route of long-term debt. But if long-term debt comes cheaper, we will certainly go for it. For example, we have now some interest-free loan to come from Mysore government for the plant which we set up 3 years ago. That might be released in a next couple of weeks. It carries zero interest rate for next 10 years. How many years? 8 or 10 years? 10 years. So we'll be using those funds for our long-term needs. So this fungibility is what you are seeing there. I hope you understand.
Got it, sir. And sir, just one last question. I don't know because I've joined the call late. In case you have outlined the CapEx plan for next 2-3 years, and how are you going to fund that?
For next year, the plan is 140 crores again, 130 to 140 crores. We completed 130 crores against 125 crores projected in the financial year 22-23. And again, there are 5 projects, including the phase 2 of Sultanpur, Hyderabad is going on. So with that, the total again looks like a budget of around 130 to 140 crores investment.
FY25, same number?
FY25 might taper a bit down because the growth in FY25 will be more for brownfield expansions with all these units where the clients have indicated their numbers. And if their plans go as per their estimates and our estimates, there will be more of brownfield investments in 24-25. They may not be as high as 140 crores or probably it may taper down to 80 to 100 crores. It again depends upon our growth in pharma division, which if it happens as our plans, probably we may have to set up entirely a separate plant unit for pharma based upon the size of the pharma and that opportunity. And if we entrench well by 24-25, in the year 25-26 could be again an investment in pharma. So let's see 25-26 when we reach 24.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Akshay from CRAMC. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, Akshay. Tell me.
No, sir. Actually, my question has been answered. Sorry, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So can you share the volumes for Thin World for the year, and in the context of 30% growth for food and FMCG, how much growth do you expect Thin World to have in the next 2-3 years?
Yeah, I think the total tonnage of Thin World in the year 23 is around 6,763 to be precise. That is contributing to 32.6% growth compared to the previous year, which is 5,100. So we are anticipating to maintain a 30+% growth in the coming...
Sorry, so this volume you mentioned is for the entire food and FMCG, right?
Yeah.
I'm asking about Thin World within that.
So only Thin World is 4,180. Compared to 3,080,
right,
which is a 35.5% growth. Only for
right. And within food and FMCG of 30% growth, will this be growing faster or slower than QPAC? So will Thin World be growing faster than 30% that you guided for food and FMCG, or will it be at a similar rate?
Yeah. We are aiming at 30-35% growth again on the 4,178, probably 5,500 plus is our target for next year in food and FMCG.
Right. The reason I'm asking this is because, I mean, you seem to have guided for an EBITDA per kg of 42 or 43. Is that just for next year or for FY25, FY26?
See, this year probably 41, 42 is possible. Next year, 42, 43 will be possible, in my estimate.
Which is what I'm just trying to understand, because, you know, Thin World is much higher EBITDA per kg, as you had mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And if the contribution of that is growing at 30-35% annually, mm-hmm, your overall EBITDA per kg should be going up much faster than what you're guiding. Are there some change in economics for some of the other segments, like paints and lubes, which has come down, which is why the overall company EBITDA per kg is not going up as fast?
No, we need to be conservative in our estimates and increasing cost of various consumables and others. So keeping that in mind, I want to guide anywhere between 41 and 42 for this financial year. Because there is no pressure as such for reduction in the pricing, but obviously to expand volumes, you need to be competitive. And that's what we are doing. And in fact, wherever it's possible, we are also asking for improvement in the conversion costs citing the genuine reasons like increased labor and power cost. So there are some companies we are obliging and some companies we are in discussions with. So if those things fall in line, we can be closer to 42. But if, you know, there are circumstances which hold the clients to hold on to the pricing, we might be in the same bracket of 40-41. But looking forward with the improvement in food and FMCG, we are targeting around 41-42 for this year.
Right. So basically to gain new clients, you're having to provide slightly better economics so that you're able to gain business. Is my understanding correct?
Typically, the what I understand your question is, which set of clients would be more inclined to pay? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying, you know, as you grow in various segments over the next 2-3 years, are you finding that you have to give better economics to them to be able to grow, or are you able to retain your current economics?
No, in food and FMCG, we are able to maintain our current economics without breaking down our margins or reducing our margins. In paint and lube, it's more or less matured now. Not much of a difference is possible either ways. With the new projects coming in, we typically safeguard our interest because of low volumes. But coming into food and FMCG is the area where we are comfortable maintaining our margins because of our ability to deliver, give the quality, consistency, and volume. So that is the main forte as of now. But going forward, pharma will be aiding our abilities and strengths much better than food and FMCG. Food and FMCG has been there for the last 7-8 years, and pharma is coming into our basket of products only from second half of this financial year. So going forward, pharma will also support food and FMCG in sustaining or improving our margins. That will only happen more from next financial year.
Understood. Just very quickly, I mean, if you could mention what is the EBITDA per kg in pharma and blended for food and FMCG broadly that you expect over the next 2-3 years?
See, food and FMCG, I continue to expect it at least in the region of 80 plus per kg.
Okay.
And coming to food, pharma products, it can be as high as 150 plus. Even if we take some products as an entry levels, we can easily look at 120. But as we go into this the regulated pharma containers and products, some of the niche products which I can't give details now, then 150 is also easily possible.
Okay, so 120 to 150 is the range. Okay, yeah. Got it. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Janesh Karia from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So first question is if you can help us with the volume and value number in IML and non-IML.
Yeah, IML and non-IML, it's overall year is closed at, in terms of tonnage, 64%, up from 62 last year. And in terms of sales value, it is close to 68 from 65.3.
Thank you. And sir, with regards to paint segment, the volume that we delivered for the quarter was more or less flattish and we had a decline in revenue. So is there a mixed deterioration within the segment, or it has just to do with pass on of raw material prices coming out?
Raw material prices were stable during this quarter. Not much of a variation, that's not to be blamed. In terms of paint volumes, we also find that there is some delay in the season takeoff, and probably things will move more favorably from April onwards.
But during the quarter, is there any mixed deterioration? Because value-wise, we registered a decline despite volume being flat.
Yeah, that may be due to some of the input costs were not compensated. That's what I mentioned, that we are talking with some of our clients, all our mainly paints, both in lubricants and paints, to compensate for some of the increased costs. So that could be one of the reasons why the decline in the turnover number compared to the volume.
Okay, understood. That's helpful, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Jaiveer Shekhawat from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Rao. So, first question on the pain segment. Now, we understand that due to entry of glargine in the pain industry, the existing pain companies are likely to face margin pressure. And possibly, they could also look to pass on some of it to packaging suppliers like you. So, what's your strategy to deal with the same?
What is your question?
So, my question is that as the pain and customers itself face margin pressure, they will also look to pass it on to packaging suppliers like you. So, what's your strategy to deal with those margin pressures?
See, one thing is we are all in discussions with our clients, conveying to them the cost rise and compensation that is required. A couple of them have already given relief from April. I can't name them, but a couple of them are in the process of considering our genuine request of increase in labor and power costs. So there are two, three items which they periodically look at, that is the labor costs and power costs. Because this being an assured line of segment for us, not many other considerations are generally negotiated. On these two counts itself, a couple of major clients have approved our request, and effective from April 1st, we are getting that. And I hope other clients also will agree for it. And if that happens, probably we will not have this pressure, at least for next couple of years.
Understood. And so, additionally, we're seeing that Asian Paints is going ahead with greenfield expansion, one in Madhya Pradesh and also probably in East as well. So, are we in talks with them to set up capacity there?
So from them, there is no official information to us, and of course, as and when they give us an opportunity, we are ready to go with them. So, like their other suppliers, we also stand a good chance, and I'm sure they will also give us an opportunity whenever they expand.
Understood. So, last question. Can you just break down your F&F revenues into thin wall products, your sales to Cadbury, as well as your Q-packs? What will be the proportion of each of these?
You can take the number. For food and FMCG, volume is 4,180 tons in this year. As against 2,580 tons in Q-Pack, that is our Q-Pack.
And the rest, how much will be distributed amongst Cadbury and how much from Q-Packs for edible oil?
No, food and FMCG is 4,180, and that includes Cadbury's, HUL, ice creams, all thin wall products. And Q-Pack is 2,580, that is edible oils, cashews, you know, some other, several products, including agro products.
Got it. Thank you a lot, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Suruchi Parmar from NX Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Suruchi Parmar, we are not able to hear you. As there's no response from the current participant, we'll move on to the next. That is from the line of Mitul Shah from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on new customers, which we mentioned in our presentation about this PD Light, IU International, Liberio, etc. So, how much revenue contribution would be from this new customer during FY23, and if you can give similar number for 22 and Q4 also?
In this year, the notable names are ExxonMobil has come back to us. He was our client earlier, and other clients is pretty light, notable names. So there are other companies like Moglix and other companies. Currently, this year, hopefully these new companies, I'm talking about these top 5 or 6 companies, would have contributed 7-8 crores in this current financial year. Maybe ExxonMobil, I don't have exact number. It could be more. But remaining other 5-6 clients would have contributed maybe around 6 to 7 crores. That will at least double to 14 to 20 crores in the next financial year. ExxonMobil alone has ability to give us more than 10 crores top line in the next financial year if they start moving more and more orders to us. So one of the reasons why they come back is also IML. And now the another point which I wanted to tell you all listeners here is that Maltec is working hand in glove with many of our clients on the sustainability aspect of plastic management, and steps have been taken to utilize RCP, that is a reprocessed plastic material granules. Nowadays, the availability of reprocessed high-quality granules is available. Many companies have set up units in different corners of the country producing plastic granules from recycled plastic, and they are able to meet some of our criteria. And we are working with all the top paints and lube companies, even food and FMCG companies wherever possible, to use these granules that will partially give them a cost benefit, but more than that, give them the sustainability aspect, which government is also trying to pass on to them for the past couple of years. So Maltec has taken the initiative in this direction, and in fact, we are experimenting with most of our clients with their products to have this RCP material used as much as possible to make them eligible or, you know, passing the criteria set by the environmental, authorities.
Yes, sir, and in this paint business, we highlighted 8-9% kind of growth, so wherein we are factoring this Pidilite related revenues also incremental from new clients.
Yeah, Pidilite just started 3 months ago, and I think the monthly turnover is close to around 25-30 lakhs, but that can grow up to 50-60 lakhs per month. But as they are also promising more and more brands to be shifted to IML, if that happens, the numbers can go better than what we are expecting.
Okay, sir, and this RCP you highlighted, so what would be approximate proportion wherein maximum we can mix in terms of virgin versus this RCP?
See, earlier, if you asked me 3 years ago, the kind of RCP available in the market was so bad, even 5% addition would reflect on the performance of the product, even the aesthetics of the product. Today, thanks to various investments made by different entrepreneurs, there are processes which are giving very cleared and cleaned material, and also well-classified material, polymer classified as a polypropylene, classified as a PE, classified as a PET. So we are in a position to mix comfortably at 10-15%. But going forward with better technologies coming in this field, I don't see a problem to even reach 20-25% in the next couple of years, which is the government set deadline, I think, by 26-27 or 25-26. Most of these brand owners, not us, but the brand owners, have to adhere to the 20% or 25% of the plastic reuse. So those numbers we are online, and we already started working on our molds to adopt to this kind of material mix. And we have mastered the processing technique, which won't affect our production efficiency, and at the same time won't hamper or damage the molds. So those techniques of the trade in the last 1-2 years, Maltec has taken initiative. Actually, we have been fulfilling this form, this what do you call, specification much earlier than our competitors to most of our clients.
This polypropylene reprocessed, I can understand, but you said that PET also. So is it possible now in PET also we can use this reprocessed, because it's being a primary?
No, we cannot use, but PET, reprocessed PET is now currently available at a much better form than even polypropylene, because the PET bottles are easy to collect. And they will not have contamination, because most of them are used for water and other liquids. So cleaning those bottles before grinding and before mixing is much more meticulous and can be done in much better way. So PET bottle scrap and recycling as becoming, it was once considered, PET was once considered as a non-reprocessable material, but the new technologies have come up in the last 5 years, especially the last 2-3 years, and these PET bottles are recycled, and those granules that are generated can be easily mixed with the virgin material without impacting the transparency and performance. But of course, we are not consumers of PET.
Yeah, because in case of you also highlighted for food grain also it can be used. So are we using anything reprocessed for food grain?
Yes,
also?
Some processes are claiming that their products are can be mixed for food packaging also, and we are experimenting with a couple of them.
The last question on this pharma business which we are going to start in second half. Sir, in that case, generally the higher level of accuracy is required in terms of microns. So this mold would be in-house, or it will be, we'll be procuring within country, or we'll be depending on the countries like China, Korea?
No, we'll be dependent on outside countries for the time being, because two things, we have several projects on hand this year, especially the PAILs, where three projects we have to execute. We have thin wall projects coming up at Panipat. Without having real expertise in the pharma products as of today, we don't want to, experiment with the project which has, and delay the project. So we are depending on some of the molds for the first phase of pharma to come from abroad. And we concentrate manufacturing the molds for our pails and food segment.
Because even material for mold making is also not available.
No, we make sure that the materials and hardness and mold testing is thoroughly done. And today, thanks to our last 10 years of experience in China and Korea and Taiwan, we have established reliable partners for mold supplies. And they know today what we need, and we insist on their design to be approved by us and all the design drawings to be shared with us, because whenever any maintenance comes up, we should have those drawings to change the parts which are damaged during course of time. So that way we have now established strong relations with a couple of three or four mold makers.
And this sir, plastic raw material for pharma is also initially imported, or will that be combination?
No. 90% of that material is available in India. Few materials which are specific to certain applications need to be imported, and their pricing is also in line with Indian prices.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Krishna Doshi from Ashika Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hello, audible?
Hello.
Ma'am, we are not able to hear you clearly. The line for the current participant has dropped off, and that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you, everybody, for your interest in our company's performance, and I wish you all the people a very good evening and all the best. Thank you very much to Nirmal Bang for holding this conference. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Nirmal Bang Equities, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line. Thank you. Thank you.